Welcome to In His Sign Catholic Radio. This is Companions on the Journey, a one-hour weekly program that provides the opportunity to deepen our faith in the Lord Jesus and to share with each other the moments of grace we have experienced. Monsignor Stephen McHenry, Pastor Emeritus of St. Anthony of Padua Parish in Ambler, Pennsylvania, is your host. Monsignor will be taking calls during the second half hour of his program. Call in and speak with Monsignor by calling 610-527-2906. And now, your host, Monsignor McHenry.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Companions on the Journey as part of In His Sign Catholic Radio. I'm Monsignor McHenry, and I will be your host the next hour or so. And it's good to be with you. It's always a blessing on a Friday afternoon. And it's a beautiful day in Pennsylvania. And it's a beautiful day in our area. Springtime has come, and things are changing, and there's First Communions this weekend, and there are weddings, and there are graduations, and exams, and all of that, the educational stuff is going on. People are getting ready for the end of May, when Memorial Day will kick off another summer. So there's a lot going on, and it's always good to step back, take stock a little bit, focus our attention on God's Word, and that's what we'll do. We read the Gospel for the coming Sunday and reflect on that so you have a sense of that before you hear it on Sunday. And so I'm glad to be with you. Today is the first Friday of May, and so we have the nine first Fridays. Try to do those, Margaret, Mary, Alacoque, and the Sacred Heart. Trying to keep the nine first Fridays, and the grace of a happy death is part of what was promised in that. And also, it's the feast of St. Joseph. So all of you Josephs out there, I ask you to receive from me my gracious congratulations on your feast day today. St. Joseph is May 19th, he's the husband of Mary, and on May 1st, he's the worker. So he was both of those things, and we'll pray a little bit to him today. So where are we? We're going to pray. We're going to gather our prayers and our prayer intentions, and I'll surround them with the prayer that the Lord leads me through. This morning, I was at Gwinnett Mercy Academy, the grade school, and they're having their first communion tomorrow. So the children who had made their first reconciliations 4 or 5 months ago, they were all coming in for their confession right before their first communion. So I was hearing them for almost 2 hours, I guess. And I'll talk a little bit about that in my program, because it was beautiful and sweet and hopeful, you know. So pray for all of the first communicants. Often the last Saturday in April and the first Saturday in May and the second Saturday in May are the times for First Holy Communion. The second Saturday, not so much, because it's up against the second Sunday, which is Mother's Day. And then you have two competing big celebrations, First Communion and Mother's Day. So people try to steer clear of that. But tomorrow, May 2nd, a lot of First Communions will be taking place all throughout the Delaware Valley. So let's put them on our prayer list. Brides and grooms, I have a wedding tomorrow afternoon. So we'll put those that intention in front of the Lord. And I was concelebrant for a funeral today. A woman, she and her husband and son have been part of the parish at St. Anthony's for many years, Vietnamese. And so many of them, you know, have that the story about leaving Vietnam, you know, many years ago and coming to this country, a new country, didn't know the language, the culture, the customs, and so forth. But a lot of Catholics came, and they're very good Catholics. They're very deeply rooted in their faith and so forth. So this woman, she's just in her mid-60s, and she got sick suddenly, and then they couldn't get her back. And so gradually she just wasn't able to thrive anymore or live anymore. So the Lord called her home. She's just 66. Her name was Thuy, T-H-U-Y, but pronounced T-W-E-E, Thuy, Pham. And so I would ask you to pray for her. And also Father Joe Tracy, he just died yesterday, or maybe during the night, maybe it was early this morning today. He had been, he worked in the Catholic Human Services. He was the pastor at St. Stanislaus in Lansdale. And he has had pancreatic cancer for 20 years. He's one of those people that got it early, but it really, you know, it just, he might be one of the longest livers of somebody with pancreatic cancer. So I'd ask you to pray for him, his family, and his loved ones. Let's pray for all of the people who have asked us to remember them in prayer. And people said, yeah, I'll pray for you. Well, this is the time. Bring those intentions to your mind and say, yes, Lord, I'm going to pray for them. And we're going to include those people who are in hospitals, those who are in nursing homes, those who are confined at home, those who are preparing for surgeries, those who are recovering from surgeries, those who are in rehabs of different kinds. All of them, we're going to gather them. And then petitions that you have. I want to pray especially for people with mental illness, emotional illnesses, and psychological illnesses. As a culture, we don't offer a lot for those people. We offer a little bit, but there's a lot of them in our culture. The overabundance of freedom. Like, if we don't put constraints on freedom, the unbridled sense of freedom doesn't always take us to a good place. So, and that has an effect on our emotions, our feelings, our thoughts, our psyches, and our souls, and so forth. So we pray for all of those people. Any intentions that you have, I said to a lot of the little first graders or second graders, first communicants, that I would pray for them, and so I'll do that now. Let's begin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for this beautiful month of May devoted to your mother. Help us to say the rosary. Help us to just have a consciousness of just how good your mother was. And the way she responded to every grace with her yes, and how you blessed all of the yeses of her life. And now she reigns in your kingdom. And what a great blessing, a human being as Queen of Heaven. It's just amazing, Lord, to us. So thank you for that. Help us to pray. Help us to put ourselves into her hands. Help us to pray to her husband, Joseph. He was an honorable man. He was a simple man. He was a man of joy. He was a hardworking man, Joseph the worker. And he was a caretaker. He took care of Jesus and trusted to his care. He wasn't sure at first, had a dream. Lord, you know that. You're responsible for that whole story. But help us to pray to him, because he was good for you and he will be good for us. And Lord, for the things that go on deep within us that we don't always allow to surface into fullness of vocal prayer, but things that are very real, we open them to you in this moment, and we ask you to enter into our souls and with your gentleness to purify and then to transform and set us on fire with the love for you, and then close us up, Lord, and send us out. We're ready to go. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We pray in your name before the Holy Father, and we ask your Mother Mary and your foster father Joseph to watch over us this day and all the days of our lives through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, so we have some announcements. There is a healing mass tomorrow, Saturday, May the 2nd, at St. Joseph's in Warrington. That's 1795 Columbia Road, and it's right on 611 going north to Doylestown. The note here is that I'm asked to let you know that Kathleen is away giving a retreat this weekend, and she will not be in attendance at that healing mass. Number two, on Thursday, May 7th, so that's coming up this next week, at the Rose Tree Park in Media at 11:30 in the morning, May the 7th, there's the National Day of Prayer. And you are invited to come out, and there will be free pizza, free ice cream, free soft pretzels, free resources and materials, and just the free pizza, ice cream, and soft pretzels was enough to draw me in. So it says you bring a long chair, a blanket, and a picnic lunch for comfort. Come when you can, leave when you must. And so that's it begins at 11:30, Rose Tree Park in Media. That's this Thursday, May the 7th. And then there's a reminder that in July, the early parts of July, 2nd, 3rd, 4th, and 5th, there's the National Eucharistic Pilgrimage, One Nation Under God. And it culminates at the Cathedral Basilica of Saints Peter and Paul. So it's coming from St. Augustine down in Florida up through Savannah, Charleston, Charlotte, then over to Richmond, and then up through Washington, Baltimore, Arlington, that area, and then it goes over to Wilmington, Pennsylvania, or Philadelphia. And it's also coming down from the Northeast, Portland, Manchester, Boston, Fall River, Providence, Springfield, and so forth. And so it's going to kind of culminate in our area the very early part of July. So on Thursday, July 2nd, there's going to be a reception, the Most Blessed Sacrament, to the Archdiocese, and that's that night, 8 o'clock, and there's continuing adoration begins. Next day, Friday, there's penance, reconciliation, and a mass at the Basilica at noontime. On Saturday, July the 4th, the Cabrini film, Mother Cabrini, is being shown several times, 10, 1, 3:30. There will be Sacrament of Penance and Reconciliation, 11:30, 12 o'clock, noon mass at the Basilica. And the Sacrament of Penance, 4:15 in the afternoon. Family Rosary at 4:30, and Vigil Mass at 5:15. And on Sunday at 11, July the 5th, the Solemn Mass at the Cathedral Basilica, the Shrine of St. Catherine Drexel. Eucharistic procession over St. Peter Church, which is the Shrine of St. John Neumann, and then there's a social to follow. So just that's on your calendar for July that's coming up, and you say, well, that seems far away. Well, may seem far away, except it's already here. So now let me read to you. And our phones are working. So the second half hour, if you want to call in, 610-527-2906, and we will be open for calls at that time. We're in the Gospel of John in this Easter season. And at this time, it's chapter 14, verses 1 to 12. Very familiar passage. This is a gospel passage that is often read at funerals. Often. And it says, Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You have faith in God. Have faith also in me. In my Father's house, there are many dwelling places. If there were not, would I have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back again and take you to myself, so that where I am, you also may be. Where I am going, you know the way. Thomas said to him, Master, we don't know where you're going. How could we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, then you will also know my Father. From now on, you do know him, and you have seen him. Philip said to him, Master, show us the Father, and that'll be enough for us. Jesus said to him, Have I been with you so long a time, and still you do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own. The Father who dwells in me is doing his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. Or else believe because of the works themselves. Amen, amen, I say to you, whoever believes in me will do the works I do, and will do greater ones than these, because I am going to the Father. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. By the words of the gospel, may our sins be blotted out. So, we have to get on our swim clothes and dive into the passage. St. John's gospel, you know, it's mystical at times. You read his gospel and you just feel like you're in another plane. There's like real life, daily life, ordinariness. We live there. Every once in a while there are blips up and down, joys, sorrows, and things like that, and we navigate them. But John's gospel is like, it's on a different plane. It really is. And so, and sometimes it strikes me funny, because you can sense how earnest the apostles are. They're trying so hard to get the message. And you know, when you try that hard, you're not going to be successful at getting the message. You know, and the message goes over your head, it goes under your feet, it just really. The frustration level in Jesus must have been pretty intense at times, my friends. You know, when you're trying to teach somebody something and you know, you're very patient and you're very patient and you're very patient, and then you don't feel like being patient anymore. But Jesus, he is patient with them. But you can hear a little bit of the, oh my goodness, how come you're not tumbling to this? How come you're not understanding this? So he says, do not let your hearts be troubled. And you say, you know, Lord, how can you say that? Like, bad stuff happens to you. And you say, don't let your hearts be troubled. Bad stuff does happen. We have no control over that. How we allow that to impact us, how we allow the bad thing to affect us, we do have something to say about that. And here's the thing. Sometimes we don't believe we do have the power. Do not let your hearts be troubled. I don't have the power to do that. If something bad happens, I'm troubled. And the Lord is trying to speak a word into your heart that's difficult to hear. But what he's saying is, you do. You don't have it on your own. You have it because I gave it to you. That's what the giving of the Spirit is. It's empowering us to do what? To do whatever needs to be done. The difference between us and the Jewish people, who were given all of the prophets, who were given all of the wisdom, who were given the traditions, who were given the kings, who were given everything, and they were chosen by God because they believed in the one true God, and they really did. Okay? But the difference between them and us is that while they were given the commandments, only when Jesus comes, only when the Messiah comes, only when the Anointed One comes, only when the Christ comes, will they be given the power to enable them to live the commandments. It's an ideal. It's in front of us as a norm to be embraced and to try to live our lives in accordance with it. That's what the commandments are for. And they were given to the Jewish people through Moses on Mount Sinai. But they weren't just given to the Jewish people. They were given to the world through the Jewish people, through them. And so they're given that gift, and they're to try to dispose their hearts and their souls to follow that, to live in accordance with the commandments. But they're not given the fullness of power to do it yet. That needs more, and the more that it needs is Jesus. That's why the Lord said, I'm setting these things up. I'm giving you this. This is a guideline. This is a goal to be strived for. This is helping you with your patience. This is giving you something to kindle your hope. I'm giving you all of these things, but I'm pointing you to the Holy One who is to come, my Son. You don't know about Father and Son. You just know God is one, and there's one God, because that's all I have revealed to you so far. But I'm going to reveal much more. And when it takes hold, it's going to change you. You're going to be able to do things you never thought you could do. My friends, at this point in my life, after being a year, 50 plus years, of being a priest that long, and ministering sacramentally and helping people in their need and visiting the sick and so forth, He's opening me now to things that I was never aware of before or didn't realize I could do before. I lay my hands on people now, and sometimes I can feel the heat of that. Sometimes I can't, but they can. And I've had people tell me I felt the healing go through me. Or, I was in the hospital and they were preparing to do this particular procedure, this particular surgery, and the doctor came in and said, I'm not going to do that because the symptoms are gone and I think you're healed. That's not from me. That's from Him through me. And for an awful long time in my life, I did not even think that was a possible thing for me. Makes me wonder if I had tumbled to that earlier, maybe the Lord could have used me better, when I was younger. But, every time is the Lord's time. And so He's using me now, and He's working through me now. And I say this to you because I want you to think it's not over. He wants us to do the things He wants us to do. And He's very patient. And He waits for an opportunity. And when we're ready to put aside some of the things that attract us that are not good, when we're ready to put them aside, He's right there. And He has something for us to do. So He says, do not let your hearts be troubled. You have something to say about the things that come into you and how you're going to allow that to impact you. Really? Yes. Really. But you have to believe it. You have to believe it. And when you start believing it, you start to see the signs of it. And then when you start to see the signs of it, you start to feel it. But it doesn't start with the feeling. It starts with hearing the word and then putting your faith in the word and trusting the word, listening to it, daring to allow that word to call you into question and say, Lord, you're saying it, I'm going to believe it. So I'm not going to let my heart be troubled. I'm going to have these losses that happen in my life. I'm not going to let my heart be troubled. I have faith in God and I have faith in Jesus. And that's what he said. I said, well, that's how I'm going to live. And it's not that you're immune or you're numb. That's not it. It's that you feel the pain, but you don't let the pain destroy you. And you feel the pain, and instead of resisting the pain, instead of pushing the pain away with all your heart and soul and mind and strength, no. You say, Lord, I'm going to let the pain in. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Well, my heart can only be troubled if I let the pain into my heart. But if I allow the pain to come in, the Lord is telling me, I'll help you with it. I'll change it. Because anything that gets to my heart, the heart of Christ is there. And that's where the transforming power of Jesus is at work in my heart and in your heart. And so he can do something with it. We spend so much time pushing stuff away. And then we're wondering why he's not doing certain things. And he's saying, listen to me. Do not let your heart be troubled. Let it come to your heart. Let it in. No, it's going to be too painful. It's too much for me. Yes, that's how we feel. And the Lord says, I need you to trust me on this. And so when he says, let it in, he means let it in. No, it'll crush me. No, it won't. I can't believe that. I ask you to believe that. And do you see how at root this little dialogue that goes on is a trust dialogue? What's he trying to do? He's trying to build your trust. He's trying to build my trust. It's how he works. And so that little sentence at the beginning of John's 14th chapter, one sentence, do not let your hearts be troubled. You really have some control over that. And why is that important? Because when you start to realize that you have something to say about the bad things that are happening to you and their impact on you, it gives you the kind of it gives you control that's an okay control. And we seek that. We're looking for that all the time. You know, we're trying to manage things all the time. We have to listen to the Lord and what he says. You have faith in God, have faith also in me. In my Father's house, there are many dwelling places. So I thought, we don't talk like that. I mean, do you talk about, you know, in my home, there are many dwelling places? No, we say, in my home, there's a lot of different rooms, you know? So I said, I wonder what it says in the Greek, and it says rooms. I thought, sometimes when people translate, I don't know why the word for room in Greek is right there, okay? And it's like monia, and it's pola. You know how like the hoi polloi, like the many, okay? It's that, it's the same, it's polloi monoi, okay? So it's like many rooms. You say, oh, well, I get that. He's got a big house. And then it used to be, because that was the translation, like it used to be, because that's what it was in the Greek, that they called in the Father's house, they called it a mansion, because big mansions had a lot of rooms. In my Father's mansion, there are many rooms. You say, oh, okay, that makes sense to me. So we're going to talk about there's room for us. There's room for you in the Father's house, and he wants you there. But we're going to take a 90-second break, and then we'll be back.
My friends, it is you who have stood lockstep with us in underpinning our apostolate by your powerful prayers and sacrificial financial giving. We have no doubt that you surely are the angels the Lord said he would send to us, and we are forever grateful. These are urgent times, and we need to proclaim the truth of God's Word, which alone can set us free. And we need to bring the Lord's healing power, love, and mercy out to a world that is in such desperate need. As your local Catholic Radio Apostolate, we are humbled and mightily blessed to have your loyal support. For our new listeners who would be interested in joining us, we can be reached at 610-527-2906 or on the web at inhissign.com.
So we are back. It's good to be with you again. Just on the announcement that Dennis just made about the support of the place, we had our annual fundraiser at the Mount Vernon Retreat House, and it was well attended, and it was enjoyable and good food. Kathleen gave a nice talk, and then people were asked to make pledges of different kinds to support it for the year. So I made a pledge, and I'll put it on my credit card each month, and I'll pay that. And it's a worthy thing. Like all of the broadcasters, all of the people like myself who do the radio, we volunteer our time for that. So, and then the people who do the studio part, they volunteer their time. We just have one secretary, and so it's kind of a bare bones effort to get the word of God out. And so we have to rent the studio and things like that. And so if there is anything that you can do to support In His Sign Catholic Radio, I would encourage you to do that. And within your means, a lot of times people say, well, I know there's all these different places that request money, and I don't know, did it really do the job and everything? Well, you know what happens here because you hear it, and you know where the money goes because there isn't a lot of money that comes in. But if you can make a contribution, that would be a good thing, okay? That information is available on our website, In His Sign Catholic Radio, and so forth. All right. So let me go back to, just if you want to call in to make a comment or ask a question, 610-527-2906. So I was just at the point we're talking about, on my Father's house there are many dwelling places. And I like the translation said, in my Father's mansion are many rooms. But here's the concept. There's room for you. Where? In the kingdom. Whose? God's. There's room for you. Because there are some of you who are listening right now who in your heart of heart wonder whether there's room for you. And I'm here to tell you there's room for you. That's what that passage is about. There's room for you. But there's more. You're in His house. I mean, it's not just you're like in the area, or your house is a couple miles down the road. No, there's room for you in His house. In His house. I mean, so you come down for breakfast in the morning, you're in His house. And here's more. Have you ever been in a situation where usually like a big scene, maybe a little artificially created gathering of people, maybe it's a cocktail party or a celebration of some kind, and you go in and you look around and you see how people are dressed and you see what's going on and everything, and inside you don't say this to anybody, but you say, I do not belong here. This is not where I'm comfortable. This is not where I live and move and have my being. I don't belong here. And you know how you feel when that thought comes to you? You just never get comfortable there. And it's you're looking for the first opportunity out the door because I don't belong here. But here's the thing. God doesn't want us to have that feeling when he opens the gates and lets us into his kingdom. He doesn't want you ever to say, oh, I don't belong here. And see what our sin does. Our sin says, you don't belong here. This is for good people. This isn't for you. But God doesn't look at you like that. We think he does, but that's not how he looks at you. Well, I thought Jesus is going to be the judge of the living and the dead. Jesus is going to be the judge of the living and the dead. And that's appropriate because Jesus is God's word made flesh. He became human being. He understands all of the pulls on us. He understands the wounds that we get because he got wounded too. And he's the right one to judge because nobody's going to be able to say, well, you don't understand. You don't get it. No, he understands and he gets it. So he's the right one to judge. But that's not why he came. He didn't come to judge us. He came to save us. And when he says save, he means I want to really save you. I want you to know you're forgiven. I was hearing confessions today with the little kids. So mostly second grade, with some third, fourth, fifth graders came in. And, you know, I'm going to say there was a profound experience for me in some of those kids' confessions. There was one little girl, I'm going to say maybe fourth grade, and she was telling her little tale of woe, and as tale of woes go, it wasn't unusual. I mean, it was just the usual stuff. But there was a point where I could tell the emotion was building in her. And so I talked with her a little bit, and I said, for your penance, I want you to say three Hail Marys when you go back out. And I said, and now I want you to pray the act of contrition. It's on that sheet, you know, my God. And then off she goes. And as she's praying the act of contrition, she starts to slow down. And her words become a little halting. And I'm looking at her, and then these tears just running down her face. And I just let her catch her breath. I didn't say anything, you know, just. And then after really maybe 30 seconds or something, I just said to her, I said, you're doing great. Just, you can finish up. So she did, you know, and she finished the little act of contrition, and I looked at her, and there was a tear on each cheek. And she said, oh, I just got sad. So I said to her, sometimes when we go to confession, we get sad. And we're sad because we sinned against Jesus and we love him. And we don't want to do that. So I said to this little girl, I said, see those tears? They are always welcome here in the confessional. They're always welcome here, these little tears. And I said, they're cleansing tears. Like I said, there are different kinds of tears that we have in life. Some are bitter tears of sadness or bitter tears of disappointment, you know. Sometimes we got hurt. We got hurt bad and we're crying because we got hurt bad. Sometimes we had a bad defeat in a sports game and we cried because we lost. And sometimes we cry because we recognize how we've been with God. And I said, your tears are always welcome here. And they're cleansing tears because they're part of the forgiveness. And I said, the Lord lets you feel those tears and cry those tears. He lets you do that because what it does is it awakens in you a desire. I don't want to do this anymore. Not go to confession. I mean, I don't want to sin anymore. Like God, it was real. Now, I was looking at this little girl. I'm guessing she's 10. I'm going to say she's probably never had a conversation like that with any person one-on-one in her life. Now, it's only 10 years, and but she was drinking in every word. I mean, she was looking to understand what was happening to her, what was going on. And I was there to interpret for her. I was there to describe for her. I was there to help her understand. I was there with a little bit of accumulated wisdom. I was there with solace, you know. And when she was leaving, she was not sad anymore. She had this smile, and I pointed to her, and I said, ah, the smile's back, you know? And it was like, yeah. And I said, and that's what this sacrament can do. It can bring the smile back to your face and get you back on track. So I thought it was wonderful. I mean, it was wonderful. And I wanted her to know that there's room for her in her Father's house. There were other kids I was talking to, and I usually have three or four, maybe five different things. You only have 90 seconds with a kid, maybe 120 seconds, but that's, you got 2 minutes, you got a minute and a half, that's all you have. And the attention span's that, so it, you know. But I, like, you know, somebody comes in and they say, you know, I punched my brother, you know. Usually it's my brother punched me and I punched him back. So it's always in self-defense and there's a little rationalization there. But so that always, you know, is your brother older or younger is a question that often follows. And whenever it's he's younger, I'll say, well, are you the oldest? And often they'll say, yeah, I'm the oldest. And then I say, I'm going to say something to you that I'm not sure it ever occurred to you before, but I want you to think about this. I said, when God made you and sent you to your mom and dad, he knew he was going to send you a little brother in a couple of years. He knew that. And he knew that you were going to be the oldest in that family. He knew that. And he did it on purpose. And he made you the oldest in the family on purpose. And you probably know that sometimes because you're the oldest, more gets asked of you by your mom and dad. Or there's like, they expect you to be better than your brother is because he's younger and he's a little bit more immature. But I said, have you ever noticed that there's more expected of you? Every single person that's the oldest knows that. It's always a head nod, yes, always. And I said, but God knew he was going to send you a little brother. And here's the thing. When God does that, when he sends, I'm going to send you a little brother for you to look after, I know that's going to take a little bit more. And so I will give you special graces to help you to be the older brother that I want you to be. My friends, remember the story of the prodigal son and the older brother who won't go in? This son of yours. Not my brother went and squandered all of your wealth, but this son of yours, he's saying he's not my brother. The older son, the older daughter, often has more put on them and they can start to resent it. I said, did you ever like feel bad about that? That you mean like you didn't want that, you're resentful? Yes, they know that feeling. They don't know what to do with it. They don't know why they're having it. Nobody really talks to them about these things. You know, and when they're in third grade or something like that, how do you talk to them about resentment? You do. They understand things. You can do that. Even little second graders can get a lot of this. They can understand a lot of what's going on. There's room for them. And in the sacrament, you want them to know that the Lord loves them so much, He just wants to wash away all their sins. My friends, He wants to wash away all your sins. There are some of you who are listening to my voice that haven't been to confession in years and years and years. Go to confession. Just tell the priest, I've been away for years and years. Help me. And the priest will help you. It'll be a wonderful experience. It really will. It will. Because there's room for you in the Father's house. And then Jesus, when he comes back into the story, he says, if that weren't the case, that I went and I prepared a place for you. Now think about that. Jesus knows you. He knows you better than you know you. He knows you better than your parents know you, than your spouse knows you, than your children know you, than your brother and sister know you. He knows you better than that. And he says, I have prepared a place for you. And then I'm going to come back and take you with me. Oh. So he's going to come back. You know, I've been at the deathbed for a lot of different people and had little conversations. And I would say to the man or the woman, you know, if they're a little conscious, I said, listen, you're coming to the end now, you know. And I just want you to know that the Lord has you in His hands. And He's going to come and He's going to say your name. He's going to say, Melvin, it's time. Or He's going to say, Deirdre, it's time. And I said, don't be afraid. Just say, yes, Lord, and go with Him. Go with Him. Because He's going to take you to the place He's prepared for you. He's not a mean God. He's a kind God. There's a place for you. There's room for you. There's a place for me. There's room for me. Do you hear how much we need to hear that message? All right, we have a call, and it's been so long since I think I was 12 when we had the last call, and I'm older than that now. So, guest on line one, caller. Caller, are you there? Okay. Let me say this. Caller, Michael, are you there? Caller?
Yes, hello.
Well, look at that, our new system. There's more buttons to push. So I only pushed a couple buttons.
Patience is a virtue.
Yes, really, patience. Hello, Michael, how are you doing?
Good. I was enjoying your conversation and really enjoyed your conversation about the little girl and her confession.
Isn't that,
and also
that was so sweet, really.
Yeah, and your overview of the gospel, and it got me thinking, like, there's almost like a correlation. Like, in my house, there are many dwellings, right? Well, like, even in confession, you go to different places, and sometimes in a big house when you're a little kid, certain rooms scare you.
Yeah.
You know, and you're afraid to go down the hall. It's dark. But if you go and then you get past being scared, you enter into something that's really cool that you never want to leave. So it was very interesting as you were talking about the experience with this little girl and just kind of watching her kind of experience that for herself and try to understand what she was going through. In my mind, I just had this vision of this person going into this gigantic mansion and kind of staying in the main room for a second and then feeling a little braver to go a little bit further and a little bit further.
Doing some exploration, you know.
Yeah.
When I was a little kid, my dad's father had a little bungalow down in Seaside Heights, New Jersey. And so we would go down for a couple of days each summer, you know, and I had never been in a house like this because it was a really old-fashioned seashore house. And it had more nooks and crannies than you could imagine. Yeah. And I would just love to explore in there, you know. All the different rooms you go in, you'd open drawers and, you know, they would have, like, curtains and things. And I was just, it was a fascinating world, you know. And then it was new to me. And then, like, the longer you're there and then you've been in different places, then you start to feel comfortable, like, I belong here, you know. I know my way around here. And that's what the Lord wants for us in the kingdom. He wants us to be able to say, I belong here. I want to be here. I want to be with you, Lord. I want to live for you. I want to be with you. I belong here. And I'm glad I'm here, you know. And that's what purgatory is. That's what purgatory does. It gets you ready to be able to cross the threshold of the kingdom of God and know that you belong there. And when you're ready to do that, you're ready to enter. And whatever needs to go from your life that prevents you from believing that, that's the purification. That's the purgation.
Do you also, is it safe to say that my father's house could also be like the immediate presence of Christ?
Well, yeah,
not just,
I mean.
Not just heaven?
Yeah, Pope Benedict, he would say that heaven isn't a place. Heaven is a person, and the person is Jesus. And then, you know how we talk about the mystical body of Christ?
Yes.
And it's almost like we think of the physical person of Jesus of Nazareth, and then dies and then rises, and then he can eat food, he can talk to people, you know, he can show his hands and his side, but he can also just appear in the room and disappear in the room. So there's something familiar about him, but something unfamiliar about him. But the mystical body of Christ, and we start to realize we are incorporated into him. He's transformed, and he's huge. He's all-encompassing, and we're his cells, and we're in him now. We live in him. It is now no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me, and I in him. Yeah, and I in him. So it's the person that is the kingdom of God. Jesus is that incarnate. He's God's kingdom. It's God's meaning. It's God's life. It's God's way. And that's who Jesus is. And that's what he came to give us and to share with us and to show us how to do it, how to live it, in a sense, to model for us and so forth. But basically, the kingdom is a way. It's a way of living. It's a way of seeing. It's a way of understanding. It's a way of thinking. It's a way of hearing. And our hearing isn't always good. I mean, I'm not talking about like, oh, I can't hear you. I'm talking about I'm not hearing what you're saying because I've already made up my mind what you're saying. No, we're not really listening. We're not really seeing. We're seeing what we want to see. And the Lord says, no, I want to purify that so that your seeing is real seeing and your hearing is real hearing and your faith is real faith. I don't want you to put faith into things that are false, that are destructive. I want you to put your faith into things that are true and real. And I mean, so that's the heart of this little passage from the Gospel of John, you know. And you can sense.
There were some other things that was going through my mind.
Oh, you go ahead,
reading that. All are welcome, all right? So everybody's welcome into this mansion. And then I started thinking about, you know, for those who will be given much is required of them, but it also made me think that there's a special place for those who do the work of God. You know, there's a place for everybody. Everybody's welcome.
Right.
But depending on how much that you love him, that's going to expose how much he's going to expose himself to you, or how much even more access you can have to him.
Yeah. I think it's a good point. I've thought at times, and this is, you know, in my lyrical moments, you know, that in the kingdom, if you see a person and the right side of his face has a particular glow, that person was a priest. Because the glow is only on the right side. Because as they stand at the altar, they look to the left to read the prayers. and to pray the Eucharistic prayer. But their, the right side of their face faces the chalice and faces the host.
Wow.
And there's a glow that comes. And that you don't know that, but that it'll be a little sign, a little tell that this person
that
celebrated.
So that is so interesting, because I can tell you the times I've knelt down and I've seen light into the chalice and kind of reflect off onto the host or actually onto your face.
Yeah.
That is surreal that you say. That's amazing. That's a beautiful thought.
Yeah, I really, I don't think that came to me. I really think the Lord revealed that to me.
Right.
You know? I think he reveals that kind of stuff to a lot of people, but we don't know what to do with it. We don't know who to tell it, you know, to, and you know. But that's what I believe.
Well, it's kind of a correlation with that little girl today. She wasn't sure what to say either until she opened.
No, I told her she was very brave.
Yeah.
Because she let her tears flow. You know, I said, God has given you a special gift, honey. Don't be afraid. He's going to take care of you. You know.
Yeah. Well. Abundance, permanence, and promise. That's what I get from that gospel.
All right. Preach well, then.
Okay. All right.
See you on the weekend. God bless you, Michael.
All right. See you.
I'll see you. Here we go. My friends, we've come to the end of another show. Sometimes the time goes much more quickly. I didn't finish all of my little thoughts. I didn't get to talk about all the things that I thought I was going to be talking about. But the Lord leads, and he takes care of us. He takes care of us. This is May. It's the month of the rosary. Pray the rosary. And always, always aim the rosary. Here's my last tip before the final prayer. If you wanted to give your mother a rosary for Mother's Day, go get it and pray on that rosary for your mother. And then give her that rosary and said, Mom, I got this rosary for you. I prayed this rosary on it for you, and now I give it to you. And we will always be united from then on in our prayer with the rosary. Doesn't have to be the most expensive rosary or anything like that. Just that you prayed on it is enough. Let us pray. Father, we have a simple prayer we place before you. Lay your healing hands upon all our children, including those who have walked or wandered away from the spiritual and sacramental practice of their faith. Bring them back, O Lord. They've turned for meaning to ways other than the practice of their Catholic faith. There are still some remnants of faith, but Mass has become less important. They believe they're basically good people who want to be their best by being true to themselves as they live in today's culture. Our faith is often viewed as being mostly about rules and commandments, regulations, and mandates. There's little realization that faith is actually much less about these things and much more about you and your love for us all. It's much more about living in the truth that you are, O Lord. A connection has gone missing. This is not fully grasped. There's need to grasp this simple truth. There's a deep need to be reconnected to you, the vine. We who have loved them into life and formed them in faith know that this connection to you is vital to their lives, to their love, to their happiness. And so we pray, O Lord, that those we love will soon recognize anew that you are real and realize that your love alone abides. We so love our children, Lord, and we so love you. Please guide them, prompt them, awaken them. May they come to realize that you, Father, as does the father of the prodigal son, go down to the road each evening to look for their return, as do we. And it is for this return we pray. In the name of Jesus, your beloved Son, we pray. Amen. May Almighty God bless you all, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Blessings on your weekends, my friends.